Good morning, church.
Good morning.
Happy Easter. Thank you for joining us this morning. Please stand with me as we come together and worship God through song.
Church, he is risen.
Amen.
What a wonderful day to be in church this morning to celebrate Resurrection Sunday. We welcome you, our visitors, those of you online, you as well, we welcome you. We've got a few announcements for you this morning. We would love for you to join our Sunday school classes. We have Sunday school classes from birth to 120. If you're 121, you can still come too. Every Sunday morning, starting at 9, there is a Sunday school class for everyone. We'd love to see you in our Sunday school classes to study God's Word. On Monday, over in the chapel, we will have Savior Stretch at 6:30. If you would like to come and do some stretching, I've heard it's a great time. Tuesday, the Women on Mission will meet at 2 o'clock. Wednesday, we'd like to invite you to our prayer and share in the chapel at 6:30. And then next Sunday after service, there will be a church council meeting and a deacon's wives meeting as well. Those are both after church next Sunday. I think that's all I have. It is so great to see all of you here this morning on Resurrection Sunday so that we can celebrate our risen Lord. I'm going to ask Randy Darr to come and pray with us this morning.
I got saved from the nursery for a couple of minutes. as I approach getting old, in my occupation, we use technology at a very increasing rate. And I was fortunate enough a couple of weeks ago being in the airport in Denver and able to watch our service on my phone. And it's fascinating, but you know what? There's a greater technology that's been around for centuries. We call it prayer. And we can have a connection with the creator of the universe anytime we wish. So will you join me in prayer? Heavenly Father, we thank you for coming to this world and being the sacrifice that we could not be on our own. Thank you for choosing to die on the cross and shedding your blood for our sins. Lord, we thank you so much. We ask that you help us to understand, help us to have the courage to stand up for you and in our communities and in our world, that we can be a light where there's ever so much darkness. Just guide us now as we worship, and may you receive all the glory. I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Sin in the cross, our cries of Hosanna, save us now, have been answered. Our Redeemer has conquered death, and because we are certain of that, we have reason to celebrate.
Christ the Lord is risen today. Alleluia. Sons of
joys and triumphs.
We've been lavished with a love that we can never fully understand, and nowhere is it more evident than it is at the cross. Every question we could ever have about God's love for us is answered at that tree of mercy.
On a hill called Calvary stands an endless mercy tree. Every broken, weary soul find your rest and be made whole. Stripes of blood that stain its frame shed to wash away our shame. From the scars pure love released, salvation by the mercy tree. In the sky between two thieves hung the blameless Prince of Peace, bruised and battered, scarred and scorned, sacred head pierced by our thorns.
Christ has overcome.
Please join us as we ask the Savior to draw us closer to Him through His cross. Countless stories could be told, countless examples given, of believers throughout the ages who have clung to this truth from Job 19, I know that my Redeemer lives. It's a certainty that gives us hope no matter what life brings our way. Jesus lives, and we know that because He lives, we have His promise of everlasting life.
Within me cry, I know my Redeemer.
Today we glory in the light of Christ's resurrection. We've been forgiven and invited to enter into a living relationship with Him. So we shout His name, sing His praises, and proclaim His unfailing love to the world. Hallelujah to Jesus, our Savior.
King of glory and light, all praises to the only giver of life, our Maker. The gates are open wide, we worship you. Come see what love has done, amazing. He bought us with His blood, our Savior. The cross has overcome, we worship you. Shout, Hosanna, Jesus, He saved. Shout, Hosanna, He rose from the grave. Come and lift Him up, Hosanna.
All right. We have been. This is Easter Sunday, right? This is great. We get to celebrate a risen Savior, right? When Heather stood up here and said, "He is risen," that was your cue to say, "He is risen indeed." So let's do that. All right? He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
That was good for practice. Let's do that again. He is risen.
He is risen indeed.
Much better. Okay. We have been, some of you guys, I'm glad you're here, okay? We've been following the Son of David since right after Christmas, and here we are. So I'm going to try to catch you up on everything. Know that you can go back and watch all those online, but I don't expect you to. This is, the Son of David is another word, another term for Messiah or the Christ. They were looking for the Messiah. They were looking for the Son of David. And in doing so, we talked a little bit about who is David? Well, it's King David back in the Old Testament. And so when we looked at David, we looked at three aspects after he became king, because we walked through why they needed a king, because it was the sin of Saul. Why do we need Jesus? Because of your sin, my sin. Right, that's the connection there. We walk through that. We walk through the selection of David, and then we walk through the long time that it took. And then we looked at David as king, and we saw him as a spiritual leader as he brought the Ark of the Covenant in to Jerusalem. Okay, flip the slide there. He's a spiritual leader. We also saw, if you read through, there's a neat chapter that talks about all of the places that God, because God was with David wherever he went and gave him victory after victory after victory. He won the tournament, okay? That's just the way to look at it. He won the tournament. Everybody that was in his way, he defeated because God was with him. Then we saw the repentant leader because guess what? He sinned. So as we're looking through here, when we think about the Son of David, understand that David himself needed Jesus. David himself needed Jesus. Now, here's the verses. Nathan is talking to David, wants to build the temple. He wants to build a permanent home for God. And in this conversation, Nathan, the prophet who calls him out because God sends him on the sin. But here's this phrase where it talks about the Son of David. This is where we get it from. Here we are in 2 Samuel 7, verses 12 and 13. When your days are complete and you lie down with your fathers, I will raise up your descendants after you, who will come forth from you, and I will establish his kingdom. He shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Now, we understand that now as Jesus. That's why we're looking at this on Easter Sunday, on Resurrection Sunday. Let's look at some names. Love these names, right? So anybody having children, here's a list of names, okay? Here we go. Solomon, Rehoboam, Abijah, Asa, Jehoshaphat, Joram, Uzziah, Jotham, Hezekiah, Manasseh, Amon, Josiah, and Jeconiah. All names that come out of Matthew. And that's where we're going to be, by the way, is in Matthew chapter 28 when we get ready to read the full text. But here we are in Matthew, starts out with this list of names. Now, there's more names before this. There's more names after this. What do all these men, all these are men's names, what do all these men have in common? They are all in the lineage of David. There's more after that, but they're all in the lineage of David. In other words, they all are sons of David. They are all sons of David. When we look down through that history. And so here's the thing that they also have in common. They're all sons of David, and they're all dead. All right? They're plain dead. They got a grave. They're in the grave. Their bones have long since turn to dust. That's the connection that those guys have. Today, we come to celebrate Jesus, and he lives. Jesus lives, right? That's the difference between those names and the name of Jesus. Jesus lives. Those guys didn't. So we're going to pick it up in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to read the text. I love the text, right? Because it tells us that the man that we left last, that they left on Friday evening, Good Friday is what we call it, right? That commemorates the day they took Jesus off the cross after he'd been crucified, put him in the grave, and left him with the stone rolled in front. They come back today, and we're going to read what happens when they come back. They come back to the grave expecting to find what? A body. And what they don't find is what we read about here. In Matthew chapter 28, verse 1. Now, after the Sabbath, as it began to dawn toward the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to look at the grave. And behold, a severe earthquake had occurred, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled away the stone and sat upon it. And his appearance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. The guards shook for fear of him and became like dead men. The angel said to the women, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who has been crucified. He is not here, for he has risen, just as he said. Come, see the place where he is lying, where he was lying. Go quickly and tell his disciples that he has risen from the dead, and behold, he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Behold, I have told you." And they left the tomb quickly with fear and great joy and ran to report it to his disciples. And behold, Jesus met them and greeted them, and they came up and took hold of his feet and worshiped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and take word to my brethren to leave for Galilee, and there they will see me." Now, while they were on their way, some of the guard came into the city and reported to the chief priests all that had happened. And when they had assembled with the elders and consulted together, they gave a large sum of money to the soldiers and said, "You are to say, his disciples came by night and stole him away while we were asleep." Friends, that's fake news, okay? And if this should come to the governor's ears, we will win him over and keep you out of trouble. And they took the money and did as they had been instructed. And this story was widely spread among the Jews and is to this day. We know the story. I think most of you know the story. But if you don't, you just heard it, all right? They crucified Jesus, the Son of God, the Son of David. They put him on a cross. They crucified him. He was dead. They checked to see that he was dead. Pilate checked when Joseph of Arimathea asked for his body. Joseph said, "He surely can't be dead already, but yes, he is dead. You can have the body." They took him down. They put him in a grave. They rolled the stone. Matter of fact, they'd already done some preparation of the body as they laid him in the grave. They'd wrapped him in the cloth. They left him in the grave. Why? Because he was dead. They went away. It was a Sabbath day. They went away. They came back after the Sabbath day to do what? Guys can't do anything right when it comes to burial, right? Just so we know. The women came back to do what they thought needed to be done to the body of Jesus to make it a proper burial. They came with the stuff to deal with a dead body. When they got there, we just read it. A stone had been rolled away. An angel sat upon the stone and told them, "I know you're looking for Jesus. He's not here." It's not because we've moved the body. He's moved the body. He is risen. He is alive. And that's the story that they got to tell. I was upstairs for a little bit today, and I watched Miss Teresa tell the story. She had pictures, okay, of all the stuff, the angel on the stone, the resurrection, the resurrected Jesus, the nail prints in his hands and feet as he showed that to them. Jesus is alive. We know the story. The question is this. We watch a lot of stories. You go to the movie to watch a story. When you get done, what was the important part about it? You lost $20. Okay? You heard a nice story. You were entertained. You got some popcorn. Maybe some licorice. Or milk duds. Okay? Why is this story important? Why is this story important? Why does it matter? Why does it matter that Jesus Christ is alive? Now, Paul puts it this way in 2 Corinthians, the 15th chapter, starting in verse 12. Catch what he says here. "Now, if Christ is preached, Jesus is preached, that he has been raised from the dead," that's just what we talked about, right? How do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? That's what's going on. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, not even Christ has been raised. Listen to this next verse. And if Christ has not been raised, then our preaching is vain. Our faith also is vain. Our whole, the whole of Christianity, the whole of eternal life, the whole thing of salvation is built on the fact that Jesus Christ died on our sins and he's not in a grave anymore. He is alive. It is not vain. It is not useless or empty. Those are words that the other translations use as you read those verses that we just read. Paul said, if he's still in the grave, then I'm just wasting my time. I'm pulling a wool over your eyes, and I don't want to do that. But because Jesus Christ is raised from the dead, he is alive today. That's what Randy was talking about. It's the idea that we can pray and talk to him because he is living. You can talk to this, but it can't answer. I can talk to Jesus, and he can't answer because he is alive. He is alive. It's without the resurrection, all of that is gone. But because we celebrate today a risen Savior, this is why it matters, because all of eternity rests on the fact, your salvation rests on the fact that Jesus Christ has been raised from the dead and is sitting right now at the right hand of the Father, and someday soon, he's coming back. When we talked about the Son of David, it's interesting as we turned in the New Testament and saw who saw the Son of David as the Son of David, recognize and call it that. Blind man, the Canaanite woman, the people along the triumphal entry use that terminology. But when they put him in a grave, when they crucified him and he didn't come down off the cross, that was it. Okay? What we had hoped for, catch this. When we were looking for a Son of David, they were looking for the Jewish people. And I'll tell you what, the people, us today, we're looking for this. We're looking for a king who will ride in and take care of all of our problems. Okay, that's what we're looking for. So this is, in essence, what we'd hoped for. We had hoped for another soon-to-be-dead guy. In that lane, that list that started with Solomon went to Rehoboam and Josiah and Hezekiah, all those names, and then in Jeconiah, all of those guys were sons of David who came. Their hope was placed in them. They kept them as a nation for a while. They were looking for another guy that would throw off the Roman Empire, that would take care of the Roman taxes, and then would set the people up like they wanted. That's what we'd hoped for. We like temporary fixes, don't we? We love temporary fixes. Does anybody recognize this? Some of you are so young, you don't even know what this is. This is an iPod, all right? This replaced CDs. How many of you know what CDs are? Okay, yeah. Okay, a few of you know what CDs. This was going to be the thing, right? If you have, I don't know what the galaxies are and all that other stuff, but I have like an i15. It has a number at the end of it, right? Because the iPhone didn't fix it. Everything we deal with in our world today is a temporary fix or solution for a problem that we have today that soon will be sitting in a drawer someplace because it's been outdated or you've traded it in. Hey, you can go through the list of cars. When you got that last new car, what was it? It was the only car you'd ever need, and you've since replaced it. That's what we go through. We go from temporary fix to temporary fix to temporary fix, when what we have in Jesus Christ is what? Eternal fix. An eternal solution to our sin problem, not something that we need to have again. Jesus Christ died once on the cross for us, for the remission of our sins, to become the propitiation for our sins, right? That's Jesus Christ. And doing so, when he walked out of that grave, he gave us victory that we couldn't get. He gave us victory. I love Jesus told the disciples, you're going to mourn, but your mourning will be turned to joy. When they put Jesus Christ in trial and then put him on the cross, The disciples were, excuse the term, they were crying, right? Because they were mourning the man that they had followed for these 3 years, the man that they had placed hope in for this time, the man that was going to be the Messiah, the man that they wanted to sit on the right hand in his power. They didn't understand. Jesus said, you're going to mourn. And they mourned the loss of Jesus. And then when the women came and they came back and they told the guys, hey, he's alive. Yeah, right. No, we saw him die. No, he's alive. Peter and John, when you read in the Gospels, they run down to the tomb. And guess what? There's nobody in the tomb. John believed. Peter's still trying to wrap his head around it. They come back. Jesus reveals him to himself, and he tells them that what? Yes, I am alive. That's the victory that we have. 1 Corinthians, that 15th chapter, at the end of it, love that chapter, but it says, oh, death, where is your victory? Who can overcome death? Nobody. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he overcame death. He paid the price for our sins that we might be redeemed. Guess what, people? That's a choice. You have to choose to put your trust in Jesus. He did everything for you. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. If you haven't done that, the victory is not yours. It's waiting to be yours. But if you accepted Jesus, hallelujah, the victory is ours. And I know that someday, as I get older, I can jump not as far as I could before. I don't know if it's age or weight. It's probably both. But if he comes back, I'll meet him in the clouds in the air. Astounding. Only because of him. What we preach today, what Paul preached, seemed like foolishness. Right? We put him in the grave, he's dead. That's foolish that you would say he's alive. But it's foolishness no longer. And here's that out of 1 Corinthians 1:18. The word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing. But to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. I have in my office a poster of BMW motorcycles. I have that up as a reminder of the gentleman who thinks that what we do here today is foolishness. I'm praying that God will change his heart. Because I know that what we do here today, that what we celebrate, that what the choir sang about, that what we'll sing about, that what I preached about is not foolishness. It is the truth. It is the truth. It has changed my life. There was a time when I went to church. I will tell you, there was a time when I thought if I went to church and was good, and I stayed out of an orange jumpsuit, probably back then it was black and white stripes, but if I stayed out of jail, I'd go to heaven. That's kind of how I looked at it. Good people go to heaven. That was kind of the belief. And I tell you that we still believe that today. The fact is that Jesus Christ, if you could have been good enough to get there, wouldn't have died on the cross for you. Wouldn't have needed to, because you could have done it yourself. He died on the cross to do what you and I could not do. His blood is the most precious commodity in all of the universe. But why? Because it's only through his blood that we can experience forgiveness of our sins. Our sins is the problem. And all I had to do was ask. You see, at one time I didn't get it. But when I understood that Jesus had died for me, and all that I needed to do was to ask for forgiveness and put my trust in him as my Savior, then I became saved. Do I still fully understand it? Let's think about this for a moment. We were looking for another guy to come along and be a king and die. That's what we were looking for. We fell short of what the Messiah was or is in Jesus Christ. We dream of a heaven where we'll drive nice golf carts that don't need gas around on golden streets. I'm telling you, we're going to be blown away when we get to heaven. Because what God gives to us is far beyond what we feel like we need. We needed a guy with a sword. God sent us a guy who laid out his arms and bled and died so that we might have eternal life. Not a temporary fix that we did another guy after that and another guy after that and another guy after that. We only needed one Jesus to die on the cross so that we might have eternal life. Here's your action step. In other words, what do I want you to do with this? Can you explain? This is the important question. I don't know all of you, and I don't know everybody that I know, everybody's particular position. But I want to ask you this question. Can you explain the why? Why does the empty tomb matter to me? It's got to matter to you. I mean, if it doesn't matter, you know, you just know the story, but if the story hasn't changed your life, it really doesn't matter. You've watched a movie, you've had milk duds and popcorn, and you went away, and you've been entertained. You've heard a story, but the story about Jesus Christ is meant not only to change your life today, but it's meant to change your life for eternity. It's not just meant to change your life for eternity. It's meant to change your life for today and tomorrow as you learn how to live for Christ. We're going to give, what we call this is an invitation time. We're going to sing another song. The words are going to be up here. We're going to ask you to all to stand, and you'll all sing along with us. But here's the catch. I'm going to be down here. I'll have deacons on the side, and there are people next to you that would love to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, and you're going, I don't even know what that means, will you come down and ask us what that means? Because we want you to walk out of here understanding what Jesus did for you and embracing the excitement of the victory that's waiting for you. You may come and you may need to come and pray for somebody. I know it's Easter Sunday or Resurrection Sunday. I know you got family plans, but let's take the most important time now and make that about what God wants to do in your life. He took the time to die on the cross for you. He didn't do a drive-through cross. He bore all of the pain and agony, not because of what he'd done, but because of what we'd done. So, our sin. So you can come and pray. Maybe God's moving you to the ministry. Might be a missionary, might be a preacher. Might be God is moving you to join the church. I don't know what it is that God is doing in your life. You might just want to come and give thanks for how you've seen God work in your life. We're gonna stand, we're gonna sing, and we're gonna open that invitation up to you.
Who took on flesh, fullness of God in helpless babe, this gift of love and righteousness, scorned by the ones he came to save, till on that cross as Jesus died, the wrath of God was satisfied. For every sin on him was laid. Here in the death of Christ I live. There in the ground his body lay. Light of the world by darkness slain. Then bursting forth in glorious day, up from the grave, he rose again. And as he stands in victory, sin's curse has lost its grip on me. For I am his, and he is mine, bought with the precious blood of Christ. No guilt in life, no fear in death. This is the power of Christ in me. From life's first cry to final breath, Jesus commands my destiny. No power of hell, no scheme of man can ever pluck me from his hand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand. Till he returns or calls me home, here in the power of Christ I'll stand.
Let me pray. Father, we come on this day, Easter, Resurrection Sunday. Father, as we can proclaim, he is risen indeed. Father, help us to go out to share this good news. Father, for those who don't quite understand, haven't made that decision, Father, I pray that you continue to work on them, that they might understand their need for you as a Savior. Father, from the bottom of our hearts, Lord, we remember what you did for us so that we might have the hope of standing before your throne and offering you praise for eternity. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing another song. All right? I want to go out celebrating, and we're going to sing another song. Now know that some of you gripped the pew and held on. God is not done working with you. God may work on you through the song. If you want to talk to me afterwards, find me. I'll be here someplace. If you want to come by and see me Monday through generally Thursday, if the motorcycle's out there, it's not there today, but if the motorcycle's out there, I'm here for you to talk. Knock on the door. There's a bell over here. We'll get you in, okay? Because what you need to talk to me about is the most important decision you need to make. And so I want you to know that's there. So continue to pray for those around you. Thank you. I see y'all look lovely today, okay? It's great to have you in the house. If you're not going back someplace, you're all welcome back next Sunday, all right, to come back and worship and praise and sing and learn. Let's sing.
Alone in my sorrow and dead in my sin, no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. My orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new, now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have have made us new. Now life begins with you. Released from my chains, I'm a prisoner no more. My shame was a ransom he faithfully bore. He canceled my debt and he called me his friend. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. A Savior displayed on a criminal's cross. Darkness rejoiced as though heaven had lost. But Jesus arose with our freedom in hand. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, your grace so free washes over me. You have made me new. Now life begins with you. It's your endless love pouring down on us. You have made us new. Now life begins with you. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. Oh, we're free, free, forever we're free. Come join the song of all the redeemed. Yes, we're free, free, forever, amen. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began. When death was arrested and my life began.
Your homework for this week. Here's you have your red. And one more picture. Okay? This picture means the world to me. It means the world to you. We went to Israel and we went to his tomb.